The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. I'm John Hinderacher from Powerline, filling in for Dan tonight. You know, there are certain evergreen chestnuts, to I guess mix a metaphor, that keep popping up over and over again, and it seems like they're terrible ideas that somehow just can't be stopped. And an example of that is rent control. It's been conclusively demonstrated, both through academic analysis and through experience, most importantly, that rent control is a terrible, terrible idea. And yet it always keeps coming back from the dead. And it has a certain intrinsic popularity, I guess, if you're one of the people who's benefiting from that particular form of price fixing. Price fixing is basically always a bad idea. When multiple companies get together to fix prices, that's a crime and they get prosecuted. When the government fixes prices, that's frequently a popular element of a political party's platform. And that's true of rent control. Another area where it's true is a minimum wage. And you can survey the academic literature, and I think the verdict is very, very clear. Labor is like every other commodity. If you increase the price, you reduce the demand. You learn that in the most basic economics class you could ever take. And again, it's borne out by experience. Nevertheless, there's always a political appeal to increasing the minimum wage, because people always just think of it in terms of, oh, well, certain people will make more money. That's great. And they don't think about the negative consequences. And so we have currently a proposal to raise the federal minimum wage. And this is particularly bad because it's the federal minimum wage, which means it's going to apply everywhere. And there are some urban areas where a $15 minimum wage is, well, you know, that's less than anybody's actually getting paid. There are some rural areas where a $15 minimum wage is pretty darn good money. And so this is not a situation where we should have one size fits all. And nevertheless, there are serious proposals right now to raise the federal minimum wage dramatically, all the way to $15 an hour. I'm not surprised to see this coming from the Democrats, but I was surprised to learn that my friend Tom Cotton has joined with Mitt Romney to offer a proposal that includes increasing the minimum wage, federal wage, to $15 an hour, which, of course, to the employer is going to translate, after the additional costs are added in, to something that may be closer to $20 an hour. But along with that, the Cotton-Romney proposal includes real meaningful employer enforcement of immigration laws. And so it's kind of a twofer. If you are a relatively low-skilled American worker, you both get protected from unfair competition from illegal immigrants. And at the same time, if you're lucky enough to still have a job, you can benefit from a $15 minimum wage. The problem, of course, is that there are many people who are not worth $15 or $20 to an employer. They simply can't confer that much value. Or alternatively, maybe they can confer that much value, but at some point it makes more economic sense to replace them with, for example, a kiosk in a fast food restaurant rather than an employee. And we're seeing that, of course, all around us. And so the inevitable impact, if you raise the minimum wage to a level above what really is entry-level wage anyway in a particular area, you start unemploying people. You start having people who can't find jobs. You start having people getting laid off. You start having people getting their hours cut back. These things are the inevitable consequence if you have a minimum wage that is higher than the actual market-determined starting wage for unskilled labor in a particular place. And on this point, Jason Riley has a really interesting piece in yesterday's Wall Street Journal where he talks about who is it who is actually getting paid the minimum wage. And I think when people talk about this, they assume that what we're talking about is helping poor people, people who make very, very little money. But actually, if you look at the numbers, that isn't true. Well, first of all, Jason Riley points out that a new Congressional Budget Office report estimates that if this $15 minimum wage were put into effect, about 1.4 million jobs would disappear. And how many more in addition to that would just not get hired, nobody knows. But we're talking about unemploying vast, vast numbers of people. And Jason Riley talks about an analysis by two economists, Joe Sabia and Richard Burkhauser, who found that the vast majority of workers who would theoretically benefit from a minimum wage increase live in households that are not poor. And according to their research, only 13% of workers who would be affected live in poor households, while nearly two-thirds live in households with incomes over twice the poverty line. And over 40% live in households with incomes over three times the poverty line. And well, why is this? Well, the answer is there are very, very, very few people who are supporting a family on a minimum wage job. I mean, that is very, very rare. Most people, you know, are sensible enough not to try to do that. And so for example, according to the same economic research, single mothers make up less than 5% of those who theoretically could benefit from this increase in the minimum wage to $15 an hour. So who are the people who work for minimum wage? Well, they're the ones that you see at your neighborhood Dairy Queen. You know, they're basically teenagers who are making a little money and getting a foot into the labor force, and retired people who are just making a little extra money in retirement. That's mostly who works in entry-level minimum wage jobs. And one of the terrible things about raising the minimum wage substantially, as this legislation would do, and condemning a lot of those people, not all, but a lot of those people to unemployment, is that you make it much more difficult for people to get that first to get on that first rung on the job ladder. A lot of people learn valuable lessons about making sure your alarm clock goes off, about getting to work on time, about, you know, how to serve customers and be a good employee, how to be reliable and dependable. And where do people learn those lessons that serve them well throughout their working careers? Many, many people learn those life lessons in their first jobs, working part-time for minimum wage. And especially young people who do come from less well-off households desperately need to learn those lessons, need to acquire those very basic job skills that can make a person employable for many years to come. And if we raise significantly the minimum wage, as these people are talking about doing, we're going to be pulling up the ladder on untold thousands of people who need that description.
Podcast of the show at danproftshow.com.